Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Fallfield in the observance of God's Feast of Trumpets. I was wondering if I'd come to the right place. I only recognised one of those hymns. I've only been around the Church of God for about 30 years, so it's been an education for me this morning, for which I must be grateful. That's what I want to talk about today, is gratitude, thankfulness. I was sobered by a thank you letter the other day, and I realized just how bad I was at saying thank you. We live in this country in an affluent society, but I've always noticed that my attitude is, why was I only born in the top 20% of the world's population? Why couldn't I make it to the top 5%? Which is really what so much of us do. We live surrounded by so many things that should be considered as wealth, but we take so much for granted after a very short time of usage. One of the incredible things about people who have money, which encouraged me when I had very little, was that whereas my wife and I would have a difference of opinion about what we would spend the little we had on, like whether something essential like beer or something inconsequential like food. And we found out that people who had a lot of wealth had to argue about whether the money went on a second car or a second speedboat. And you suddenly think, well, there's still going to be an argument, just a question of what you argue about. Let's look at people who became prosperous and see how they reacted to the prosperity. If we look over, please, at Deuteronomy, a warning to people who are there. This is recorded for our example, and we understand, living in Great Britain and the United States of America and Western Europe, that these are our ancestors. But also, it is something for everyone to learn, because this is the consequence of human nature. In Deuteronomy 8, under the inspiration of Satan, this is how people respond to prosperity. Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 7. I want to read through to verse 14 and then pick up again in 17 and 18. Starting in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 8. For the Lord your God brings you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein you shall eat bread without scarceness. When doing this study, as an aside, I thought, how incredible. One of the most popular diets nowadays in the prosperous West is something called the Atkins diet, which avoids things like bread. How amazing. What is a blessing from God? We are so affluent, we ignore the basic blessing of bread. But sorry, that's an aside. Just a remarkable thing looking at that. So carrying on here. You shall not lack anything. A land where the stones are iron, and out of whose hills you may dig brass. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Show your gratitude. Remember where the blessings we have come from. But a warning, beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwell therein, when you have got used to your prosperity, when you become fat and full, when your herds and your flocks are multitude, silver and the gold multiplied, when your bank accounts are fat and full, when you have trust in physical things, that you be lifted up, that you become inflated with arrogance, you forget the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We sing basically every year, or we see on the television people singing Land of Hope and Glory, where Britain shall never be slaved. What a strange thing. Britons have been slaves before. People were slaves very recently in the Second World War. The people in the Channel Islands were British, and they were under German occupation. Our ancestors were escaped slaves. It's interesting we forget that many of our people were enslaved, and we are still enslaved to a system if we have not escaped from Satan's grip. So carrying on here in 17, and you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that has given you power and wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers, as in this day. We must remember, and a tool for remembering is gratitude. We must remember to show gratitude to others as well as God, but I particularly want to concentrate today about showing gratitude to God. When I was a child, we were not well off by the standards of those people around us, but despite that, I found it very difficult to be grateful for presents or gifts given to me. And as a courtesy, my mother always expected me to write thank you letters to relatives who had given me money or gifts. And I resented so much being beholden to others and having to go to the trouble of writing a letter. Many times I wished I could have sent the present back, which is ridiculous, but that is sort of the curious thing about human nature. I would rather not have received the present than have had to say thank you for it. Perhaps one of the reasons why I've lost my head of hair, I've lost something anyway, is because once somebody gave me a comb and I was so ungrateful. I said, what do I want that for? I never comb my hair. Well, now I've reached the point where I never have to comb my hair. First find it. This is and was not a godly attitude. Colossians, please, chapter 3. This reflects a better attitude. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. What an incredible calling we have. What an amazing thing that we're able to understand God's plan, the fact that we realize that with all the problems going on around the world, all the atrocities that occur, all the injustices that happen, all the cruelty that built into so many different systems, there is a God with a plan who is going to bring justice and equity, fairness, honor and respect. People will not be despised. There will be justice and honor. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Even though I did not recognize the words of two of the songs we've just sung, weren't the words fantastic? Weren't they amazing? Taken from the Bible. Perhaps we should be more familiar with them. Verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Always remember to show gratitude. The sign of the times in which we live are reflected in the second epistle of Timothy and chapter 3. This is the normal, unforgivable carnal reaction, which is so extant nowadays. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting the first 5 verses, this describes the times we live in. And shockingly, when we read down, this is people who we could easily fellowship with if we were not careful. These people have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Do not fellowship with these people. But if we're told not to fellowship with them, that must mean we are surrounded by them. That means that possibly they even carry one of the names of the churches with them. But look at the description they have. This is what makes these times so dangerous. verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And what I want to emphasize, of course, is this one: unthankful, ungrateful, not appreciating what is done for them, taking things for granted. They consider they have what they need. They need nothing else. They're self-contained, self-contented, boastful. They're without natural affection, truce breakers. Without natural affections includes what I was as an obnoxious young child. Totally ungrateful that someone had even bothered to think of me. Instead of saying thank you for thinking about me, thank you for taking the time to buy something. Somebody bothered, whereas I reacted violently against that, stupidly, ungratefully. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, sexually incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. That's another thing. Some of the reaction when we are ungrateful to people, they've done a good thing. Instead of being grateful for what they've done, we resent it because it makes us look less. Instead of being grateful that they are increased, that they are better for giving us something, we think, oh, they've got one over on us. No, we mustn't. We must be grateful for what they've done. Grateful that God has moved them in such a way. Remember the blessings we received. It helps to humble us. We are nothing without what God opens our minds to be. Everything that we think we are has to change for when Christ returns to establish his kingdom. Be grateful for what we have. Even be grateful when we meet problems and trials, because that is preparing us by developing character within us for a time when we will hopefully rule with Christ. Something indeed to be grateful for.